to start today, I'd like to ask you, how do you approach each day? How do you prepare mentally? You know, do we let our past failures weigh us down? Me, personally, I don't have any failures. Of course, I'm being very facetious. But do we get discouraged by our lack of courage and resilience every day? You know, it's easy to get down, to fill the pools of this world. And it's quite a process, you know, every single day. We know that our choices that we make, that we choose, will have consequences. So how can we approach every day so that we can change our thinking patterns to create that good mindset? If you will, turn to Philippians 4, and we'll start in verse 13. Philippians 4 and verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And 14, nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. So Paul here is telling us that we have an opportunity every day to change, to do something better, but it is daily. And verse 18 of Philippians 4, we'll read to verse 21. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. So we see that we have to be walking in this Christian way. We'll turn over to Lamentations 3. And it goes Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. Lamentations 3 and verse 22. We'll read of how we should be approaching every day. Lamentations 3 and beginning in verse 22. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. It is God who gives mercy to us, who renews our strength daily. And if God isn't willing to give up on us, as it says here, then we shouldn't be giving up on ourselves. Now, it's easy to read these things, harder to apply them. Now, we've all been through tough roads, have doubts, been up, been down. But something that has stood out is that God, at least for me personally, he's never forsaken me. I've always seen him working in my life. If you will, turn over to Psalms 119. Psalms 119 and beginning in verse 17. We'll read to 22, beginning 17. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may see wondrous things from your law. I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. My soul breaks with longing for your judgments at all times. You rebuke the proud. You rebuke the proud, the cursed, who stray from your commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. So we see David's continual motivation. But he was motivated because he kept his eyes on God's law. So when we are motivated by God's laws and keep our eyes on that, then we too will be spiritually motivated by God. Well, David was a king, we know, and he had a kingdom, and he ruled over a lot of people. And yet, he says here, I'm a stranger on the earth. And what did he ask God to do, that being that he was a stranger? No, he asked God to open his eyes, to help him apply God's law fully so he could walk closer with God. So is this what we want? Is this even important to us? Do we focus on this on our day-to-day lives, or are we too busy watching TV or doing whatever it is that we do on our daily basis? Well, so many times we talk about this during church, and maybe it's become dull, maybe it's become redundant. But think about those people who lived in the Old Testament, those who lived hundreds of years. Noah, Abraham lived a long time, Moses lived a long time. That took so much strength and energy to remain close to God for hundreds of years. I mean, we don't even live that long now. If you will turn over to Romans 1. Romans 1 and verse 1, Paul says, writing this letter, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. And verse 9, God, whom I serve in my spirit, in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you. Now, Paul's example here and in so many places throughout the New Testament was that he was focused on the gospel of God. He was focused on getting that word out. Now, he wasn't even seeing the things that we are seeing today. The signs of the times that we see now. So do we read the updates, member letters, standing watches? Have we read all the booklets? Do we study our Bibles? If we do these things, we can see that the picture is growing. It's getting clearer. But yet it's a picture of increasing craziness, madness. Ezekiel 9 and verse 4. It's a scripture that's always stood out to me. Ezekiel 9 and verse 4 says, And the Lord said to him, Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and cry over all the abominations that are done within it. So do we sigh and cry over the things that are being done? Not just here in the United States, Or, if you would turn over to Romans 1, verse 32. Are we of this type? Romans 1 and verse 32, although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. And as I was writing the sermon, I was thinking about how Paul was able to stay so focused and grounded. And it really came to me that he accepted his role. He let God lead him. And he lived his life as best as he could. Now, he saw that purpose for his calling. Now, he saw the end game and he believed the promises. What promises? And if belief is part of righteousness, then we too have to believe. Romans 4, and beginning in verse 1. Romans 4 and verse 1. What then shall we say? The Abraham our father, according to the flesh, discovered in this matter. In fact, Abraham was justified by works. He had something to boast about, but not before God. What does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. So Paul understood this. Abraham understood this. And let's continue in verse 18. Against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed, and so became the father of many nations. Just as it has been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. Verse 21, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. And the words, it was credited to him, were written not for him alone. 24, but also for us to whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who has delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. It doesn't get much simpler than that. That's our bread and butter. We must continue to believe that we can and will make it into the kingdom of God. We have to have that continued faith that God will make all things work out according to his will. It's too late in the game to throw in the towel now. Just when it gets hard is when you need to stand in there and keep keeping on.